Welcome to the Sustainable Ag Writer Podcast, a podcast bringing you news and views about sustainable agriculture from across the southeastern United States. Every show will feature insightful interviews and deep dives into sustainable agriculture topics with farmers, ranchers, land-grant universities, and local food system advocates. Now, here's your host, Brennan Washington.
Welcome to another edition of the Sustainable Ag Writer. I'm your host, Brennan Washington. I hope everyone's well out there. It's a nice sunny day out here in Georgia. We're finally starting to get our tomatoes in. I'm really happy about that. Still a ton on the vines, taking their times turning green, but we're starting to get them in. So that's a good thing. I hope you and yours are doing well out there. I'd like to send my condolences out for the victims of that co-op condo disaster down there in Florida. That was a shame. All in all, things are going well. A lot of people are bummed, obviously, about the federal court decision on the relief to black farmers. I know, you know, I sort of had a feeling that was going to happen. In fact, when I read Senator Cory Booker's Justice for Black Farmers Act, the first thing I thought of after I finished reading that act was, how are they going to get this past conservatives? And that's what we're seeing now. So, but this is not a political show. I may have some folks on to talk about that because I don't think a lot of folks understand the history of the USDA as it comes to black farmers. So there's a lot of ignorance out there around, you know, this is a handout, not realizing that the USDA actively discriminated against black farmers for, God, almost 100 years. But we're going to keep working and we're going to keep on keeping on. So, all right, this is the second installment of our federal grants workshop. So the last episode, we talked about just some general things about grants, you know, who's eligible to apply for them, what grants typically do and do not cover, and just a really high, a lot of high level stuff. So today we're going to talk about the prerequisite of applying for federal grants. So a lot of us who work in the fields that we do, be it NRCS or my position, invariably you get a call from someone saying, I want to start a farm. Where do I go to get my grant? Or they come and say, I'm going to fill out this application for a grant. There is actually a process that you have to go through. So most of the agricultural grants that we're going to be speaking about on this program, you have to apply through a website called grants.gov. There are some prerequisites for you to be able to do that. There's certain things you're going to have to do, and we're going to cover that on this show today. The only grant program I'm going to talk about that doesn't require these prerequisites is going to be the Southern SARE program. You can just go ahead, log on to their system, and go ahead and apply for your grant. But most of the other ones we're going to be talking about, you're going to have to go through grants.gov. So let's take a minute to talk about what you need to do and in what order, because that's it's really important that you understand what you need to do and the order that you need to do them in. So the things you're going to need in order to be able to submit a grant through grants.gov, you're going to need a federal tax identification number. You're going to need a Dun & Bradstreet number. Once you have those, you need to register with the System for Award Management, and then you register with grants.gov. So let's go over these prerequisites one by one. So a federal tax ID number, many, I'm sure all of you out there are familiar with. It's just an identifier to the IRS that basically when you're paid money, the IRS knows about it. So in most cases, this is going to be your tax ID number for your LLC or your business. There are, and I'm trying to think if there's any, grants.gov programs, you rarely, if ever, will use your social security number. And you shouldn't be doing that anyway. You should have an LLC or some sort of legal structure set up. So you need to go ahead and apply for your a federal tax ID number. There's going to be a link to the where you can register at in our show notes. And you go ahead and register. You will get a number pretty much right away, but they always caution you not to use it, to give it out when you get the number, just wait a little while to make sure it's actually your number. All you're going to need for that is your name, address, the name of your business or your company, and you go ahead and do it online, and they will send you, they will give you a tax ID number, and you tuck that away for in safekeeping. So it's a fairly straightforward process. I'll have the link in the show notes to where you need to go to apply for that. So once you do that, you need to go ahead and get a Dun & Bradstreet number. The easiest way to think about Dun & Bradstreet is that it's like a credit bureau report for businesses. That's the easiest way to think about what a D&B number is. One of my first jobs out of college, oh so many years ago, was working with Dun & Bradstreet. So I'm a little bit familiar with how they do things. But basically, you're just going to give them some basic information, and they're going to send you back a D&B number. That number, you are hardly ever going to use that number again. If your company at some point applies for open accounts like credit or something, say farm supply stores, that type of stuff, sometime they will check your D&B report. But once you stick this in for the purposes of our conversation, you're never going to have to deal with it again. But you need that Dun & Bradstreet number. Let me just step back and say everything that I'm telling you about, there is no cost to taking these steps to these prerequisites. So there's no outlay of funds. You're not going to be charged to register or anything like that. Once you have your Dun & Bradstreet number, you have to register with a system called the System for Award Management, but most people know it as SAMS. This is sort of like a clearinghouse that handles the payments of federal monies to individuals and companies. And SAM is a critical link in the piece, a critical link in this work of getting these prerequisites done. So what you're going to need with SAM, you're going to need to gather up your company information, so your tax ID, your D&B number, which is why you need to do those two steps first. And then I'll ask you some other things, like who's authorized to execute documents on your behalf for your organization. You know, who's an authorized signer? What levels of approval that they have, do they have? And that's, so you go in and you set that all up. You need your bank account information because nobody cuts paper checks anymore, people. Everything's direct deposit. So you're going to need to enter in the bank account information for your organization. Now, let me tell you a little bit about what the timing of these things. So you have to do the tax ID number. You have to acquire your D&B number. Those two processes are fairly quick, but when you register for the SAMS, now the SAMS is going to go out and talk to the IRS systems and the D&B systems just to verify different types of information. And it sort of acts as a connector between those systems and with grants.gov. Why I'm stressing this is because it can take anywhere from 2 weeks up to 6 weeks for you to get approved and everything gets settled down in SAM. And the reason why I'm saying this, let's say a grant comes out and you've got a 6 week deadline to get that grant written and get it submitted. If you wait till the last minute to try and do your SAM to do these prerequisites, there's a good chance you may miss the deadline because the prerequisites aren't there and you're not going to be able to go into grants.gov. And I know that's happened to quite a few people, myself included. I really didn't understand how long this process can take, even though on the SAM and on the grants.gov websites, they do tell you that allow yourself adequate time. So if you're listening to this podcast, after we go through the actual programs that are out there, if you think you're going to be applying for federal grants within the next year, say, you need to be doing this stuff now. So it's over and it's done with. Sam, you do have to do an annual update. They'll send you an email. Hey, has anything changed? Is this information still correct? And then you have to go ahead and update that. Or at some point, they'll just deactivate your company in the system. Doesn't delete it, it'll deactivate it. But if that happens, you won't be able to apply for certain federal grants because you can't get into grants.gov. So take care of that early. Like I said, if you even have any inkling that you might want to apply for some of the grants we're going to be talking about on this show, go out and do that right now. The Dun & Bradstreet number, the link to register on the Dun & Bradstreet for Dun & Bradstreet number will be in the show notes, as will the link for the System for Award Management. Once you do those three things, then you can register with grants.gov. Let me tell you a little bit about grants. Grants.gov can be the one thing you hear about grants.gov is that it can be an extremely cumbersome system to work with, and it can be. We'll talk about that a little bit more when we talk about writing the grants, but some of the key things you want to be aware of is, you know, learning how to do what's called a workspace, making sure that you're set up correctly when you go ahead and register. All of those different things you need to make sure that you're putting in all the correct information, especially when it comes time to apply for a grant. You need to have that information in and make sure everything's up to snuff well in advance of writing your grant. So if there's any problems, you can deal with that immediately and not be, for example, 2 days before the deadline, you are having issues with the system. So that's grants.gov. So those are the four prerequisites that you need to have in order to go ahead and start to apply for some of these federal grants. Now, some soft prerequisites, and like I said, Southern SARE, their programs do not require grants.gov. It's just a whole separate system from grants.gov, their own system. To me, it's a lot easier to deal with, but most of the other federal grants are going through grants.gov. So you should get onto these systems and familiarize yourself with them. I had some interesting conversations with people who didn't want to apply for grants because they felt that they were given too much personal information. But it's really nothing that you're not going to have out there anyway. If you're running a farming enterprise as a business, you're going to have a tax ID number, and the IRS is going to know, you know, what your financial position is because you got to submit a tax return every year. So there's nothing nefarious about it. But you just need to go ahead and make sure to take care of those things. So just to recap, you need to get your federal tax ID number. Then you go and get your DUNS number. Then you go and register with the System for Award Management. And then you register for grants.gov. Make sure you have all your information pulled together when you go on these systems. That includes your bank account information. When it comes to grants.gov, if you have multiple people, if you're a husband and a wife and you both do different things to the business, or you want to have somebody else, say your wife, execute some documents in case you're not around, you need to make sure you have her information. You need to make sure your address is accurate. As you step through each of these prerequisites, just double and triple check it before you hit that submit button. And that's pretty much it. It may sound difficult, but all in all, I'm going to say if you have all your information together and you can sit down at the computer and probably get this done in 30 to 45 minutes tops. But you do need to have this stuff. I can't stress it enough. For most of the federal grants that's out there, you need to go ahead and get registered with SAM with these prerequisites so you can get it out the way. And then the other thing that grants.gov will do for you is you can register to get notifications of any grants that you might be interested in, be it agriculture or anything else. You can go in there, one, and look at the grant openings that they have. B, you can sign up for any listserv that grants.gov puts out. The other thing you're going to do, why grants.gov is important, is because, for example, the Beginning Farmer and Rancher Development Program, 2501 program, a lot of these programs we're going to be talking about, that is where you're going to download your application package. So you need to be able to get in there and get everything. I mean, you can hot link it from other sites and get the package that way. I would say always try and get your actual grant information and applications from grants.gov itself, because sometimes they change stuff. They had some changes in the BFRDP recently while the grant, the open period for the grant was still open. And they changed some stuff. So if you were using an older one, or you had gotten it, or somebody had just emailed you an application, or you saw it online somewhere, but it wasn't through grants.gov, you would have known about those changes. It's always good to make sure that you have what the latest and greatest is from USDA and grants.gov. Grants.gov, and I don't know, I may have to just do a separate show just on grants.gov, but there's some things you need to do in order to be successful working with grants.gov. One, you have to know what a PDF is. Most of the supporting information that they will be asking you for the applications, will come to you in a PDF form. So you're going to need to be comfortable working with PDF, and it's nothing hard about doing PDFs at all. Depending upon when you get that grant application, there may be some other forms that you need to complete. And that's why, once again, you should go to grants.gov to get that full package. It'll tell you, in addition to your RFA, what additional forms that you need. So there's typically a conflict of interest form that you have to submit. There's just some basic forms about your business, but you have to complete that. And that's usually in addition to you actually putting in your request for proposals, your RFAs. So it is going to be just a set of documents that you're going to need to put together to submit your actual application. And that's pretty much it for the prerequisites. I'm trying to break these down so I don't take up a lot of your time. And if you need to go back and look at this stuff or listen to this stuff, you can. Like I said, that's pretty much it. I mean, on the next show, we're going to be talking about, we're going to start to actually dig into the programs. There's going to be about 7 programs we're going to talk about. And I was going to try and fit them all in into one show, but I don't think I'm going to do that. I think I'm going to split them into 2 separate shows. If you have any questions, you can always email me at info@sustainableagwriter.com, or you can go to the Sustainable Ag Writer Facebook page and post your questions there. Like I said, the strategy for being successful applying for these grants is to take a long-term view and then be strategic about how you're going to apply for these grants. Anyone typically just waits, especially you have no grant writing experience, waits until the RFA comes out for that particular year. You could be successful. I'm not saying that you won't, but it's better that if you know the Beginning Farmer and Rancher grant is going to be coming out again in December of this year, you should get your ducks in a row now so that you're ready to apply for that grant once that grant period opens. In the next show, I'm going to have in the show notes a schedule of when these various programs come out, what you should do to start to get yourself ready to apply for them. So, and in closing, you know, farmers of color, we just don't seem to engage in these programs. There may be something cultural about it. I don't know. But on the panels that I serve as reviewers, you know, I'm sometimes a little disappointed about the amount of applications I see from Black farmers and Hispanic farmers. Now, I realize that a lot of that is due to, one, distrust of the government. That's one. And that's totally justifiable. 2, intimidation about having to write a grant and not knowing what goes into it. Those are probably the 2 big ones, or not having enough time. So those are some of the big ones that I often hear about. You know, we're going to save Black farming and try to do what we can to stem this tide of losing Black farmers in this country. We need to become familiar with these programs and engage with them, because this taxpayer money, and most of you out there pay taxes. So some of that needs to come back to you and your farm in the way of some of these grant awards. So I said I wasn't going to keep you too long today. Those are the prerequisites. Once again, I'll have all this information in the show notes. If you have any questions about specific grant programs that you would like answered on the next 2 shows, send me your questions at info@sustainableagrider.com. And that's AGRIDER.com. And I'll be sure to try and answer those questions within the context of the shows. And I might as well let you know what programs we're going to be covering. We are going to be covering Southern SARE, the Beginning Farmer and Rancher Development Program, Agricultural Marketing Services, which consists of the Farmers Market Promotion Program, the Local Foods Promotion Program, and now it also includes the Value Added Producer Grant Program. We're going to be covering the Office of Advocacy and Outreach, which is a 2501 program. And we're going to talk a little bit about, even though it's not a grant program itself, we're going to talk about NRCS, the National Resource Conservation Service, because so many people think that that program is a grant program. It's not. It's a cost share, but we'll go ahead and talk about that. And since I'm on the subject of NRCS, I have not mentioned once until now farm and track number. Most federal grant programs, you do not need a farm and track number in order to apply for it. So that's why you didn't hear me mention that in the list of prerequisites. For NRCS, you will need that. You will need a farm and track number. But for all of these federal grant programs that we're going to be talking about, a farm and track number is not necessary. If you don't have a farm and track number, you should go and get one. You can go to your county FSA office, that's Farm Services Agency. You can go to them and tell them you want to get a farm and track number for your farm, and they will provide you with all the information you need to give them. So it's just that simple. Contact your county office, tell them you want a farm and track number, and just go through the process. Once again, this is no cost. And I think that's about it for this show. So once again, let me go through this again. Your prerequisites are obtaining a federal ID number, acquiring a Dun & Bradstreet number, registering with the System for Award Management, and then registering with grants.gov. That's, like I said, it's going to be a little short. I've been trying to shorten the shows. You know, I know everybody's out there, it's busy. 2-hour shows, sometimes people just can't devote with it unless they're driving in a car somewhere for a long time. And also, it's a lot more pressure on me to get out a 2-hour show, hour and a half show. So I've been shortening them. If you like the show and you like the information that I'm bringing to you, please sign up wherever you get your podcast streams. You know, subscribe to us. And if you like the show, please leave us a rating, because that really helps us out. And that's it, people. Hope y'all all doing well out there. Hope your farms and organizations are doing well. Have a great rest of the week.
Thank you for listening to the Sustainable Ag Writer podcast. Please visit our website at sustainableagwriter.com, where you can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify. If you found value in this show, we'd appreciate a rating on iTunes. Please tell your friends and colleagues about the show and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Once again, thank you for listening to the Sustainable Ag Writer podcast. Sustainable Ag news and views.